singing. I like it when we pray about songs and we think we've got it and the Lord blesses, but then all of a sudden the one that you thought you didn't need to sing, you really did need to sing. Yep. I like it.
Amen.
I like it when God just says, you know what, don't worry about time, don't worry about anything, yes, just sing. Yeah. Just have a good time and worship.
Amen.
I'm glad that he has. He's been there through my ups and downs, but I'm glad that it's been worth it all.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
I don't know that I can complain about a whole lot of anything.
Amen.
I had kind of one of those weeks, you know, this broke down, that broke down, this broke at the house, this bad, the other thing, and I put something on Facebook how bad I had it, but then somebody else put on there, I shared a verse, and he said, thank you for sharing that. That really helped me. Just pray for me. My wife's got cancer and this, that, and the other, and I thought, my soul, my problems pale in comparison with so many of others, even in our own areas, our own communities. So I was convicted by that. But I want to preach tonight on this thought, blessed but broken. And if you'll help me, I'll try to preach as fast as I can tonight. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want to read verse number 8. It says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. This is the focus of the verse I want to get. That we were pressed out of measure, mm-hmm. above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, if you'll turn your page over to chapter number 4, look at verse number 8. It says these words, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
Amen.
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Amen.
Persecuted, but not
Amen.
Forsaken. Cast down,
Amen.
But not destroyed. I'm glad when we find the fix that we're in, there's a but. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that every bad that we can think of, God says, but you are. Amen. I want to try to preach on this thought, blessed but broken.
Amen.
Maybe in context it should be broken but blessed.
Yeah.
But tonight I want you to know that I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody that would not want to be blessed.
Right. Yes.
Brother Gill, everybody I see, whether they go to church or whether they don't, I hear so many people saying, well, I'm just blessed.
Right.
I'm blessed. I could remember back even a few years ago before it was popular to have a blessed day and all this. I could remember a time when people would say, I'm blessed.
Yeah.
But I don't know very many people that would want to say, I'm broken. I don't know very many people that would want to take pride in the fact that we're broken.
Right.
The truth of the matter is we're all broken people.
Yep. Yep.
Every single one of us has got a yesterday. Every single one of us has got a past.
Right.
Some that we don't want to talk about. Some that we might boast on when we get around a certain group of people.
Right.
Some of our yesterdays are good. Don't misunderstand me. But I believe that there are some broken people in God's Word that we can glean some info from today. And I want to try to help you with that. Number one, just to dive right in. John chapter number 6 tells us of a little boy that had a little bit of a lunch. And he shared it with the master.
Amen.
I want to get right into it. I want you to see the little boy and his lunch. Verse number 11 of chapter number 6. It says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples took them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. I want you to know this, first of all, about it being the boy and his lunch. It was unknowingly prepared. Look at verse number 9. It says, and there is a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?
Uh-huh.
I want you to know that it was unknowingly prepared. It reminds me of a widow woman in Zarephath.
Yeah.
Right.
It reminds me of this woman that was just about, just about to send her boy out to gather some sticks to bring back and build a small fire and make a couple cakes, and her son were going to eat it and die. But I'm glad that God had another plan.
Yes,
the Bible told the preacher to go down to Zarephath.
Right.
He said, I have prepared thee a woman.
Right.
And I'm glad to report tonight that this young little boy, he didn't know. I believe he knew he was going to see the master.
Right.
I believe that's why he went.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he knew what was going to take
place that morning. Right.
I don't know that I don't know that mama really understood what was going to happen.
No.
It says he had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I believe today that the things that we have in our lives, they may not seem like much.
Right.
They may not seem like a whole lot.
Right. Yes.
It may seem as though we don't have enough to offer to God.
Right.
It may seem like we're at the very end of verse number 9, but what are they among so many?
Yep.
We may ask ourselves these questions, but we have to realize that when God calls us, when God puts us into service, He's going to, a lot of times, unknowingly prepare us.
Amen.
Now I want you to know that it was blessed by the master. Look there at verse number 11. Jesus took the loaves. Now in this gospel, it doesn't say that He broke it. But if you look over in Luke chapter number 9, verse number 16, you see that He took it, He blessed it, and He broke it. It was broken. It was blessed by the master. It was broken by the master, but it was made a blessing. You see, it was a blessing to the people. Here in our text, verse number 11, verse number 12, it says it was distributed to those that sat down. And verse number 12, and when they were filled, when the people were filled, it says that Jesus told the disciples to gather up all the fragments that remain. I like this. That nothing may be lost.
Yep.
Amen.
When you do a work for God, when you make yourself available for God, church, doesn't matter who you are.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how old you are.
Right.
Amen. It doesn't matter the station in the sanctuary that you find yourselves in.
Right.
If you make yourselves available, as this little boy did, he made his lunch available. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing will be lost.
Amen.
On service for God.
Amen.
It was made a blessing to the people. They ate. They were not only filled, preacher, they were filled with 5 little bitty. You know what I think of when I think of a little loaf? I don't know how many people like Captain D's, but you know them little biscuit, them little, I don't know what they're called, them little weird pones of bread? That's what I think about when this little boy come up, rolled up in there at the camp meeting with Jesus, and he had these little bitty biscuits of some sort, and then 5 little or 2 little sardines. And all he was going to do, he was going to have himself a snack and then go home to mama. But I tell you what, God used what he had. And God will use what you have.
Yes, sir.
You may think I don't have anything. You may think that everything you have, everything piled up on itself, is nothing to offer Him. But church, I want you to know that's all He wants.
Amen. Yes.
He wants you.
That's right.
He wants your willingness.
Amen.
Talking about blessed but broken. Jesus blessed this bread.
That's right.
He blessed these 2 little fish, but He broke them.
Right.
Number 2, I want you to notice a young man, a middle-aged man at this point. His name was Mephibosheth.
Mm-hmm.
Look over in the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 4. 2 Samuel chapter number 4, verse number 4. You see a tragic scene here. It says that, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. Now it gives a story. Why was he lame?
Right.
Listen to it. Verse number 4, 2 Samuel chapter number 4. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. His nurse took him up and fled. She wanted to protect him, and it came to pass that as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. I believe we've seen this boy's lad was unknowingly prepared. I believe here we see Mephibosheth was uncommonly prepared.
Yep.
It was a tragic scene here. It's a tragic scene now, but now there's so many ways of healing. There's so many ways they can put casts, they can do this, they can do that. But could you imagine this little boy, 5 years old, I believe the scripture said, and he was running for his life. He fell, broke both of his legs, became lame. There was a lack of medical help, but I believe he was broken in more ways than one.
Yep.
I mean, it says his name was Mephibosheth, which means from the mouth of shame. He was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son. This was David's best friend's son.
Right.
But his name means from the mouth of shame. Could you imagine? Could you imagine dragging that around with you all the time?
Yeah.
From the mouth of shame. Your very name means that you're wretched. Your very name means that you will never amount to anything. But says his legs was broken. It says that he lives in Lodabar in 1 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 3 and 4. Lodabar talks about that land of no pasture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's no pasture. There's no meat. There's no sustenance.
Right.
There's no way that he can continue to grow and get where he needs to go. I believe that his spirit was broken. His body was broken, but his spirit was broken. But we see, and I believe it's 1 Samuel, might be wrong. Let me double check this real quick. 2 Samuel, excuse me, chapter number 9. I want you to see verse number 5. Then King David sent and fetched him being Mephibosheth.
That's right.
Fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake.
Amen.
And will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually.
Yes, sir.
He was broken in every way possible, but he was blessed.
Yes, he was.
He was broken spiritually, financially, physically.
That's right.
But he was blessed.
Amen.
David had every right, as thou understand it, he had every right to kill every descendant of Saul. To wipe them out. But I'm glad he saw fit to stay true to his word and save Jonathan's son. And he blessed him. Instead of killing him, he blessed him.
Yes, sir.
Listen, he was blessed, but he was still broken.
That's right.
He was at the king's table, but he was still broken.
Yep.
Verse number 8, he bowed himself and he says, What is thy servant that thou should look at, that thou lookest upon such a dead dog as I am?
Amen.
I'm gonna read through this real quick. David called his servant and he says, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertained to his house.
Mm-hmm.
He says in verse 10, Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring the first fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table.
Amen.
Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba said to the king, According to everything that you've said, I'll take care of it.
Amen.
He was still crippled, preacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could imagine as he, I'm about to have a fit.
Amen.
I can imagine as he pulled up. I don't know if they had wheelchairs back then or not. I think wheels were still square. I don't know. But I can imagine as the king's table was here. They had Chick-fil-A over here. They had Buddy's barbecue right here.
Yes,
they had a big old ham right in the middle of it. I'm talking about they had pork and beans. Right. They had fried. I don't like fried okra, but baby, I'll throw it in. I mean, David had it all. They had everything you can imagine. Here was David at one side. There were servants filling the palace. Here was all the important people. And here was a man named Mephibosheth. Yep. But Brother James sitting at the table, he looked like everybody else.
Yeah.
He was still crippled under the under the table, under the cloth. He was still crippled.
I'm
telling you, Brother James, outside of everybody's sight, everybody's vision, he was still crippled.
Yes, sir.
But he was blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
He was sitting at the king's table. You and I sit at the king's table. We've got every opportunity to sit at the king's table. In spite of our rags, of our own past sins, we can sit at the king's table. In spite of all of the things that we've done wrong, God invites us to sit at his table.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right.
He was blessed, but he was broken.
Amen.
Now, I want you to go back a little ways. Go back over to Genesis chapter number 32. We see another young man. His name is Jacob. You remember Jacob? He was a lying cheat. He was no count, no good for nothing. But God. Chapter 32 of the book of Genesis. Verse number 29, it says, and Jacob asked him, and he said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. I can't do that. I'll stop right here. Verse 29, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Now, preacher, you read just that verse, you have no idea what's going on.
Right.
Have no idea what in the world is going on. I'm talking about being blessed but broken. I believe he was uncomfortably prepared. Look over at verse number 3 and verse number down through verse number 7. Listen to this. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother. Esau wanted to kill him.
Right.
At least that's what he thought.
Yep.
He said, Esau's coming. He's going to kill me because I stole his birthright. He's been mad at me ever since. He sent messengers. Verse number 4, and they commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto Esau. Verse number 5, he says, I've got oxen and asses, flocks, men servants, women servants, and have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and he also cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Could you imagine the fear in Jacob's heart?
Yep.
Here's your crazy, red-headed, bug-eyed, mean as a striped snake brother, and he's bringing 400 men. He is going to kill me.
Yep.
And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people. He said, well, he can't kill us all. We're going to run. We're going to hide. He divided the people. And the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. But David, he was being uncomfortably prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Yep.
God was separating people away from Jacob.
Yep.
He was getting ready. He had a plan. In church, it may feel like sometimes you're all alone, but honey, right. God's got a plan.
Amen.
It may feel like that things are falling apart.
Amen.
I'm about to have a spell, but God's got a plan.
Yes, sir.
It may feel like everything in the world is going wrong. It may feel like everybody's against you, but God might be fixing to bless you.
Amen.
Listen to this. He was uncomfortably prepared. Notice he was, I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself, but listen to verse 24. It says, in God... I'm in the wrong chapter. It says over here, and Jacob was left alone. Mm-hmm.
Have you found yourself there?
Mm-hmm. Out of fear?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Out of distress?
Yep.
Out of worry? Out of wanting? You found yourself alone. But Brother Wally, listen. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. His family's across the brook. And here he is all alone. I'm sure he was over there trying to... I don't know how you men are, but when I need to think, when I need to get things focused, I got to get by myself.
Amen.
I got to get by myself. I love my wife. I love my kids. But sometimes I just got to go somewhere. And he was one of those. He had to be by himself. He said, I need to figure out. I could imagine how he was just sitting on a log. He had a campfire going. He had a staff in one hand. He was trying to pray. Might have had his Bible in the other hand. Probably didn't have it. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying. He's trying to do some devotion. Trying to get his mind wrapped around this thing. All of a sudden, he hears... over in the distance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I don't like the dark.
Nope.
Me either. Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. I don't care.
Nope.
If I do, I got spotlights. I got everything. It look like Neyland Stadium when I camp. I don't like the dark. And I can imagine old brother Jacob, he's sitting on a log. He's trying to mind his own business, scared to death that his brother's coming. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, he hears a branch or something. Here's a twig. Here's the dried up grass begin to crumble behind him. And out of fear, he reacts. And all of a sudden, boom, here comes somebody.
Yep.
And the Bible says he wrestles with Jacob.
That's right.
Now, who do you think Jacob thinks he is?
Uh-huh.
Listen now. Verse 24 said that he wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. The angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me.
Yeah.
And he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there.
Amen.
Jacob
Amen.
Called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face. Listen to this. And my life is preserved.
Amen.
He was uncomfortably prepared. He was broken by the messenger here. But he was blessed.
Amen.
Jacob was persistent. If it had been me, brother, I would have gave up.
Yeah.
The first thought of pain, I'd have give up. I'd have said, uncle, I'd have cried anything. I don't like pain. I'm a lover, not a fighter. If he wanted a hug, I'd have hugged him all day long. But honey, when he started wailing on me, I'm out. I'd have tapped out. I'd ask for some help somewhere along the line. But all night he wrestled with this
Amen.
Angel.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I wonder if there's something that you're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we get.
Yeah.
Lord, I got this burden. Just get it off.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Lord, just get it.
Right.
It might be that God wants you to fight through this thing.
There you go.
Yes.
It might be that God
go.
Wants you to wrestle through
yes,
this
sir.
Thing. Because at the end of it.
Amen.
There might be a blessing.
Amen.
That's good.
At the end of this thing, there might be a blessing. Now listen, you might be broken,
Amen.
But you'll be blessed.
What about that?
You see, he was blessed here at the end.
So good.
But you have to realize in verse number 25 that the angel touched the hollow of his thigh and it was out of joint.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Verse number 29, though, it says it. He blessed him there. In spite of his hip being out of joint, he wrestled. He wasn't going to let go. The angel was true to his word, though. And he said, you've got power with God and with men. But did you know he remained broken? He remained broken. Look at verse 30 and 31. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh.
Yep.
In other words, he still limped.
Yep.
Still favored that thigh until his dying day, Brother Tom. He halted upon that thigh. He halted. He could not stand straight without pain, but he was blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Could you imagine that night? Could you imagine that night? All of the rigmarole. I don't know if that's a good word or not, but just everything's messed up. That his family's on one side of the brook, he's on the other, supposed to be by himself, and all of a sudden there's grass flying, there's trees bending over, there's screaming, there's hollering, there's punching, and all of a sudden he comes over back to the family, back to his wife, back to his youngins, and they said, "My Lord, Jacob, what in the world happened to you?"
Amen.
Amen.
He said, "God bless the Lord bless you."
Amen.
Woo!
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, sometimes Amen. We get broken and we focus on being broken. But I wonder if in spite of our brokenness, we can really say we're blessed.
Amen.
Man, that's good. Amen.
I believe God can bless anybody He chooses.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't know how y'all are. I'm just a man, and sometimes I look at somebody and I look at their circumstances and I look and I think, you know, God ain't never going to bless them until. Surely He'll bless me before He blesses them. Next thing I know, they're coming up and they're like, "Man, the Lord did bless me the other night." I'm thinking, how did He bless you? It might be because God wanted to bless.
Amen.
We can probably all take a poll in here. Who is the least worthy of all of amongst us? Everybody's hand would probably go up. But God can choose to bless any one of us.
Amen.
Not only any one of us, but He can bless us at any time.
Amen.
Ever been driving down the road? I do a lot of my thinking in the vehicle driving down the road. And if I ain't careful, I like throwing pity parties. They're the best pity parties you've ever attended. I'm telling you what's true. And I'll throw me a pity party and I'll start saying, "Lord, this is wrong. 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 Over yonder, oh, I forgot about that. That's wrong too." And then God says, "What about this?" And before long, my pity party has done turn into just about a shouting fit.
Amen.
Tears began to flow, and I realized that, hey, if everything was gone and I lost it all, I'd still have Him.
Yes.
Tonight, have you been blessed?
Amen.
Are you broken tonight? You should know that sometimes brokenness is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
I've never had a broken bone. Praise be to God. I don't know if anybody here has. Is there any doctors or nurses in here? Good, because I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going to preach it anyway. I have heard that when a bone breaks and it heals correctly, the place of the fracture, I've heard this, grows stronger than the other parts of the bone.
Amen. Amen.
Could it be that God breaks us so that we're strong?
Amen.
Amen.
Could it be tonight that God breaks us temporarily, but when it's all said and done, it's stronger? Did I see her in a cast or something or another? I don't know what you did. Probably jumping off a two-story building or something goofy. I have no idea what it is. And honey, you need to go ask the doctor, "Am I going to be stronger after this is all over?" You do that and you holler at me. I don't know if it's true or not. But hey, I want you to know, whether physically it's true or not, I believe every break that God allows in our lives makes us stronger.
Yes. Amen.
Sometimes God breaks us and it's a permanent thing. It's a permanent break. But just like Jacob, but I believe just like Paul, he said, "Man, I've got it bad, but I'm perplexed, but..."
Mm-hmm.
Been blessed,
but broken.
Amen.
God does a lot of things for us.
Amen.
I preached a message one time, The Beauty of Brokenness. And I used the illustration about this Japanese way of putting pottery back together. The Japanese word for it is kintsugi. And in this process of kintsugi, the Japanese would take a valuable piece of pottery that is chipped or that is broken, and instead of just gluing it back together and trying to make it look the way that it should, they highlight the fractures. And they actually take a resin, and they begin to put that resin on each of the cracks, and very carefully they put it back together, but they're not neat with it. They put enough resin that it oozes out of the crack, and they don't brush it off. But instead, they powder it with gold. And it's been said that the piece of pottery is worth more after being broken than it ever was before.
Amen.
And church, if we allow God to do the breaking in our lives, we are more valuable in His sight
Amen.
Than we were before. Preacher, I'm through.